This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
My name is Anthony. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the care pastor here. How are you guys feeling 12:30 service? Did you guys get that extra hour of sleep last night? Yeah, we like that. Any parents feel personally victimized by that extra hour with the kids coming in a little extra early? That's how I felt. So, we'll get through this together. Celebration to all those who are running the New York City Marathon today. I mean, none of you guys are doing it, but still, I mean, you know, congratulations to all those who are running it. Good morning. Like what's I said, we're in the middle of a series called Payout. Payout is, we're going back and we're learning the truth about, you know, what does it mean to reap what we sow or harvest what we plant. And if you're just joining us, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the first couple of weeks, because it's just, there's been some really fundamental things that we've been learning that Pastor Chris has walked us through. But for many of us, when it comes to this idea of harvesting what we plant or reaping what we sow, we believe that if we plant this, we're going to get this back. But as we've been walking through this, now this is seed corn, this isn't popcorn, but this is seed corn. And so many of us believe that if we plant this, this is what we are going to get back. But what Jesus is trying to get us to understand, this idea of harvesting or reaping what we sow is so much more than what we put in. Galatians 6:7, one of the verses we're looking at, says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." So there's always going to be a harvest. Paul's trying to get us to understand that as he writes to the church in Galatia. And God's trying to get us to understand that there is always going to be a harvest. Sometimes it's going to be good. Sometimes it's going to be bad. The decisions in our lives, we have to look at them like seeds that are being planted. Decisions are like seeds. Something is going to come from you planting this. And we all understand this. We all understand that as you plant something, there is going to be a harvest from that. We understand this in life. Like my 4-year-old daughter, when it comes to bedtime, I'm the preferred parent right now. And I thought it was because I was the fun one, but it turns out that I am just the comfortable one. And what that means is she told my wife flat out that she likes when daddy puts her to sleep because his stomach is so squishy and easy to fall asleep on. So that right there, my friends, is the parable of the seed twofold. First off, I didn't get this body overnight. It took me years to be this squishy. Thanks to those lovely munchkins that are downstairs, those seeds that were planted happened to be powdered and glazed, that have now blossomed into this Sealy Posturepedic for my daughter. The second reason that it is the principle of the seed is as soon as she didn't know this, but she planted a seed in me that night that she said that as well, because I turned to my wife and said, "I must lose weight." So I'm planting that seed right now. If you see me going for munchkins, slap my hand. Anyway, we get this idea, right? We get this under idea that if we plant something, something is going to come of it. And Jesus takes it a step further, and he says, seeds don't just come back one for one. If I plant one seed is not going to come back. No, in fact, if you were to plant this jar of seed corn, you would actually get this back. And that's why this is up here. So decisions don't return one for one, but they have the incredible ability to be able to multiply in our life. And that's why we're asking you. That's why we've been asking you this whole series, that we want to get you to start asking that question. Hey, I'm going to consider the payout. In fact, we would love by the end of this series for you to just always ask yourself before you make a decision, hey, what is the payout of this decision? And as we've said, week after week, payout is actually an acronym that stands for the principle of actual yield over undetermined time. Again, payout stands for the principle of actual yield over undetermined time. Because guess what? You don't know how it's going to take a decision for, you know, and when that fruit is going to be produced in your life. You don't know how long that decision is going to be a part of your life. It's an undetermined amount of time. And the yield is not one for one. The yield is far more significant than that. And that's what we want to talk about this week, this idea that you don't know how long it's going to take for something to produce fruit, something to produce fruit in you or in the life of someone else. And you don't know how long that decision that you make is going to continue to pay out. Pastor Chris couldn't be here today, but he wanted to remind you that we are asking ourselves something every single week. So he wants us to turn to our neighbor and say, consider the payout. One, two, three. Man, we are introverts' worst nightmare, are we? I mean,
first
greet each other, and now this. It's all right. So we're bringing this truth into several areas of our life, right? Last week we talked about influence. We see how this should heighten our awareness and our motivation in purposely engaging wise people into our lives. But it doesn't stop there. And sometimes this principle is easy to see, but sometimes it's difficult to see where there is going to be a harvest. So I want to take you to a passage that we actually introduced in week one, but I want to look at the whole thing today. And it's a passage in which Jesus Christ is telling his disciples what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he does this quite frequently. When Jesus wants to show us something in scripture, he will tell us a story to illustrate something or a parable. And he uses this picture of a seed. And we talked a little bit about it in week one, but here's the whole passage. It's found in the Gospel of Mark, and it's found in chapter 4. And we're going to pick up in verse 3. So Jesus says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as been planted. And then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So he goes back to this idea that there's a sower, that there's a farmer who plants these seeds. This is often called the parable of the sower. And traditionally, we've talked about how parables are also stories, but it's so much more than that. It actually literally means to set alongside. So what Jesus is doing with these parables is the idea is that he's taking something that current hearers would have known, and he's going to set it alongside some spiritual truth that God wants us to understand. So in this passage, a farmer goes out to plant some seed. And in this parable, Jesus describes something that they would have been familiar with. A farmer casting a seed on the ground in different types of soil, capturing that seed. But the farmer was planting this seed, and the seed was falling on different soil with different success. Right? There was the pathway. There was the rocky ground, there was the thorns, and then there was good soil. And it wasn't just that the farmer was carelessly sowing these seeds. No, as you sow these seeds, some seeds are going to fall where they lie. So the farmer didn't know, you know, there were going to be some rocks under there, there were going to be some thorns under there that might grow. What Jesus is saying is there are some seeds that fall into good soil, and those seeds are going to produce a harvest, an unbelievable harvest. Now, if you still don't understand this, you're still in good company because the disciples are sitting there. They didn't understand what Jesus is trying to say with this parable either. Jesus is listening to them, and he can see this on their face, so much so that he calls it out. Verse 13, he says, then Jesus said to them, listen, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand the other parables? So the farmer plants the seed by taking God's word to others. So he begins to explain the parable to them. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. So Jesus considered this parable as essential. He says you have to understand this. That's why he understands. Why he starts off by saying, listen, if you don't understand this one, how are you going to understand the others? And so what he says is, I'm going to explain this to you. He says the sower is the word. Jesus said the sower is the word of God. The word of God is like a seed. It gets planted in our hearts, and then it has the potential to bear fruit. But he says, but not every seed that grows into a plant is actually going to bear fruit. The kind of soil that it lands on is going to make all the difference. The difference is actually not ever the seed. The difference is actually the soil that it falls on. And in this particular instance, the sowing is explained. He says in verse 14 that the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So how do you sow this seed? Well, he's saying by sharing it with others. By telling what God is doing in your life. You know what's crazy about this seed? You can love this seed. You can study this seed. You can categorize this seed. You can know this seed. You can analyze this seed. But if you don't sow this seed, nothing's going to grow. If you don't share this seed, nothing's going to grow. You see, what he's saying is you have to share this seed in order for it to grow. And Jesus is saying that seed is taking God's word to others. Now, some of you I've already lost. Because this idea of taking God's words to others frightens you. You're like, what does it mean, Anthony, taking God's word to others? And I understand that. Trust me, I get that. I was like you. So many of us see a phrase like this, taking God's word to others, and you instantly think, well, I guess I need to know everything there is to know about the Bible, isn't there? I guess I need to be a theologian. I need to understand the Greek and the Hebrew. I need to be able to sit down with somebody and spout out Bible verses and Bible knowledge that I've memorized. But here's the thing, my friends, as you read throughout Scripture and you read through God's word, that's not what God is telling us to do. When he says to bring the word to others, he is asking you to share what God is doing in your life with others. To share what you have seen God do, what you have experienced, to share that with someone else and invite them to it. You don't have to understand all of it. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure it all out. I mean, you don't know all there is to know about a TV show, how it ends, in order for you to tell someone, hey, you should check this out. And it's personally, when I stopped thinking I had to be a theologian when sitting down and talking to someone and actually just share what God is doing in my life, it was then and there that I began to see these seeds start to be planted. And so what he's saying is that every chance you get an opportunity to sow the seed, you should take that. You should take that opportunity. You should say things like, this is my story, or this is how I experienced this. Or you prioritize dinner group and you tell others, hey, listen, I can't stay late tonight because I got to go to dinner group. That's planting a seed. Or this is why I serve on a team. Hey, I can't stay out late tonight because I got to get up early because I'm serving tomorrow. That is planting a seed. Sitting at lunch with coworkers, being ready to tell them. The parent telling their children bedtime stories. All of these are opportunities for you to plant seeds. This wasn't intended for you to be overwhelmed. In August, we did an entire series on telling your story. It was called True Story. You can go back in the app and find it. It might help you in learning how to share that part of your life. And Jesus is saying when you take God's word to those around you, that is planting seeds. But he says there's going to be a nature. What you have to realize is that when you plant those seeds, there is going to be things that actively work against the payout. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to break down what are those things that you may start finding yourself planting these seeds, or you may start planting these seeds in other people, but finding that sometimes there is something that is working against the payout. So the first one is in verse 15. And it says it this way. Jesus says the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come away at once and take it away. What he's saying here is that you need to understand is that someone is actively working against you. You need to expect that. For those that are here and you're beginning to interact with the truth of who God is and whether or not you can trust him, it's important for you to understand that someone is actively working against that. He loves to bring in doubts and lies and fears into your life. Now what Jesus is saying is sometimes he's successful. It's important to see that Satan doesn't want these things to be planted inside you. He doesn't want the word of God to take root in a person's heart. He wants to keep the word as far away from a person's life as possible because then they can't be fruitful to God. He doesn't want you to bear fruit because that means God's word is starting to sprout within you. That's what it means, is starting to grow. And the enemy has a million ways of taking that seed away. He's really good at distracting us. And it's never going to be huge ways. He always starts with small ways to distract us. In fact, he would love nothing more than for you to leave today and not get anything out of it. But know that he is actively working against you. So Jesus says, beware of that. Jesus says, sometimes you're going to plant seed and Satan comes and takes it away and it doesn't even get a chance to sink in. But other times it's going to sink in. Like in verse 16, he says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as their problems are persecuted for believing God's word. And in this one, the seed actually does catch. That's the crazy thing about it. It actually does begin to grow. But as soon as this thing runs into problems, as soon as this thing gets into the storm, it gets wiped out. It stopped growing. As the verse says, it doesn't last long. This is one of the reasons, Hoboken Grace, we want you to develop deep roots that we're not just talking about on Sundays, but that we're talking about on Sundays and applying it in our dinner groups and living it out when we're serving on a team. This is why we do things like equip nights and rhythms that are in your app, because we want you to grow those deep relationships, those things that are going to help you to dig your roots deeper and deeper, so that when the storm comes, and this is a when, my friends, not an if, when the storm comes, how will you weather the storm? How deep are your roots? Because sometimes when the difficulty hits, we're done. You know, my mom has been in the hospital since September 26th, and it came at probably the worst possible time. I mean, I know there's no good time to go to the hospital, but my parents were in the process of moving out here to New Jersey to be closer to my wife and I and my kids, and they were selling their house, and literally the movers were in their house when my mom had her stroke, and they had to go to the hospital while all of this was happening, and it was on September 26th, because I remember this. My wife and I welcomed our second child. Our son was born on the 20th, and I had to jump on a plane to go to Colorado to be with my mom and my dad and to help my dad attend the closing of his house and to be with my mom while she's in the hospital, and all of this stuff was happening, and I remember sitting there in the hospital room with my mom and with my dad, and you, as my church family, you guys were incredible, reaching out to me and texting me and calling me and saying that you're praying for my mom. But I'm going to be perfectly honest. I was sitting in that hotel room, and I didn't want to talk to God. I was so mad. I was so sad. I was so frustrated that I just didn't want to talk to him. And it was in that moment that I needed to do a root check. And if I didn't have you guys, if I didn't have the people around me, and I didn't have my community and the habits in place and my God time with my children, it would have had the power to wipe me out. So what he's saying is you've got to pay attention to the roots. And my fear is that we look at this story. And some of you are beginning to take this journey and you've begun to take it seriously, but maybe for others of you, you've been on this journey with God for a long time and you're starting to feel your time with Him starting to dwindle. And maybe you've heard this story a lot before because, or like I said, you've been a believer for a long time, and I've been on this walk with Christ now for 20 years almost, and maybe you're listening to it and you're saying, well, that's not me. But the reality is that your roots have gotten shallow and the rock has begun to develop. And when that storm comes, it has the potential to wipe you out. So he's calling us. He's calling us over and over and over again. Hey, how am I developing my roots? And then there's this other seed. There's this other seed that actually gets planted and it actually starts to grow, which means it actually starts to bear fruit. But then there are these weeds, these thorns that begin to come up alongside of it. Mark 4:18 says the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. And to be honest with you, as care pastor, this is the one I see the most frequently. It's the one where someone comes in and they start to hear the message of God and how God wants to work in their lives, and they get excited about it, and they jump in, they get connected, and they serve on a team, they get baptized. It seems like they're on this incredible journey. But then something happens to challenge them. Something happens at work, and then all of a sudden, they're not going to be able to serve the way they used to or make it to dinner group as much as they used to. Something happens in their life that pulls the focus away, and all of a sudden, they step away from group or they step away from serving. The things of this world, the thorns, they just start to pull them away, and all of a sudden, their investment and their participation in the mission just goes away. And here's the distinction, because there is a distinction between the rocky soil and the soil with thorns, because with the rocky soil, it says that the plant withers and dies. But the seed that falls among the thorns, the plant doesn't actually die. It's still alive. It just doesn't produce anything. And this is why I think that's the most dangerous. Because you can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. My faith is solid. I trust in Christ. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. You're still alive. You are saved. You're written in the book of life. It's just at the end of your life. Rather than there being this, it's just this. It's just one. He says there's hope. He says there's hope because then there's the seed that falls on good ground, the seed that falls on good soil. Mark 4:20 says, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. He says, hey, there's hope. There's another seed that falls on soil and it sprouts up and it continues to produce and produce and produce and produce. And when you sow seeds, you never know when you're going to or how you're going to take root or bear fruit. But here's what he's saying. He's, listen, you're not responsible for the outcomes. That's what God's responsible for. What you're responsible for, what we're responsible for is the inputs. He's saying, don't be discouraged. Even if you haven't seen the harvest yet, Galatians 6, he says, don't give up. Because if you continue to sow that seed, sometimes it dies off, sometimes it gets tangled in the thorns, but sometimes it's going to produce and take hold and produce more than you can possibly imagine. And here's the thing about the farmer. He is sowing and he has no idea. He doesn't know which soil has weeds and which soil has rocks under it. This is such a personal thing in my life because in January, I will celebrate 10 years at Hoboken Grace, if I make it there. Thank you. Thank you. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you all. When Pastor Chris asked me to come on board, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But I look over the last 10 years and I see the seeds that have been sown and sprinkled on the good soil over and over and over again. Have I seen them sprinkled on thorns and rocks? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. When you experience the harvest and you see the lives that have been changed, it's all worth it. When you see addictions that have been broken, marriages that have been restored, prayers that have been answered, all because someone decided to say yes to God and to sow their seed and to begin to show how God works, it doesn't matter whether or not I get to see it. The important thing is that God can use it and he's going to use it. He promises to use it. My dad was the first person in our household to become a believer. Almost 10 years later, I became a believer when I was in graduate school, and I called my dad, and my dad said, I've been praying for this every single day. And then another 10 years later, my mom was baptized here at Hoboken Grace. That is a 20-year harvest. That's a 20-year harvest. As a result, I've gotten to marry an incredibly godly woman, my wife Dana, and we're working to raise our children and to plant seeds in their lives. And I look at this crowd. One of the things I've been loving to do the last two services is I look at this crowd and I see how many seeds have been planted. And the harvest that's here and the stories that I know. Those who have taken the step of baptism, those who have joined groups and have started groups, who have replicated, and more people have come to know Christ because they have planted those seeds. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what he means. He wants you to join him in sowing. So if you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know if I'm on the right path. Am I on the rocky ground or am I on the soil or am I in the thorn patch? Or maybe you're here and you're walking with God and you are planted on good soil and you're just like, God, I want you to use me. My hope is that you will go out today. And I got a couple challenges for you. The first one is this. I want you to ask yourself this question. This week is which soil do you find yourself in right now? When you got to, I want you to discuss this in your group. And if you're not in a group, you got to get into a group to be able to discuss this. But honestly, ask yourself, God, where am I right now? Am I on a rocky soil? Am I in the thorns? Is there so much going on that I'm having a hard time hearing from you at all? That my priorities are all out of whack? Or if I'm like, no, God, I feel like I'm planted in good soil. I'm ready to continue sowing these seeds. And then the second challenge is that some of you have bought into the lie that we do this and that we reach people as individuals, that the farmer is all by himself and that I have to do this by myself. That's not true. You don't have to do this alone. You don't experience this alone. Many of you are here today because somebody invited you. You didn't get here alone. Maybe you got a granola bar at the path or maybe you checked out one of our connection events. Whatever it is, you didn't get here on your own. And so that's why we have teams. That's why we do this mission together. That's why we're all in this together to try and love our community better. You don't do this alone. We do this together. And so I want to challenge you. For some of you, you have come in contact with the Hoboken Grace family and you're enjoying it, but you're still just an observer. This is about using our gifts together to accomplish the mission of helping people find their way back to God in order to be able to scatter these seeds that when we do, there's going to be a payout. There will be a harvest. No, make no mistake that. You're not going to know when, but there will be a harvest. And so I want to challenge you. What soil are you? You're going to ask you that question, but I also want to challenge you to join this mission to begin to deep root yourself and jump on a team. If you haven't already joined a team, we've made it real easy for you. We got Team Link today. All you have to do is when you open up the app, right at the top there, you'll see something that says Team Link. It'll give you a list of all the different teams and departments we have here at Hoboken Grace. And as you walk out today, they are strategically lined up like soldiers right outside the door to not let you pass. I'm just kidding. There's waste exit. But they want to hear from you. They want to meet you. They want to find out what, you know, how we can use your gifts to be able to continue to help people find their way back to God. And so as you exit today, go stop by the tables, meet the team, find a team. And for those of you who are already on a team and those of you who are already serving, I hope today serves as an encouragement to you to know that you are planting good seeds on good soil and that there is harvest and there has been harvest and there's even more harvest to come. So let us all be a part of this mission together, planting seeds to watch God produce that harvest. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for this truth. I want to thank you for how you work this principle of payout in our lives. My prayer is threefold today. Number one, for those who may not know you yet, for those of us who haven't walked into this relationship with you, that they will begin to just take that seed that's been planted in their hearts today and start to trust you, and that you will start to make that grow. Secondarily, my prayer is for those that are here today who may find themselves amongst the weeds, who may find themselves on rocky soil, and that it's only going to take one storm to wipe them away. Father, I pray that today they will continue to grow their roots deeper. And then for those that are here today that have found themselves planted on good soil because somebody invested in them and somebody is encouraging them and they've put down good roots, my prayer is that we can continue to go on this mission together and to bring more and more people into relationship with you. God, we're ready for the harvest. We can't wait to see what you're going to do. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.